at my signal. Unleash hell.
Who is he?
I'm required to kill, so I kill.
Tell me your name.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius. Commander of the armies of the North. Loyal servant to the true Emperor, Marcus Aurelius. Bye-bye. Father to a murdered son. Husband to a murdered wife. And I will have my vengeance. In this life or the next.
Win the crown. And you will win your freedom.
I am not entertained!
Today I saw a slave become more powerful than the Emperor of Rome.
I will give them something they've never seen before.
Am I not merciful?
What we do in life echoes in eternity.
Ave Caesar, Ave Imperator, Meritori tel salutant, Romanum viti Caesarium.
Ooh, I don't even know what that might mean.
Hail Caesar, hail conqueror commander. Those about to die salute you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from the history of the 12 Caesars.
We should all just stab Caesar.
No stabbing Caesar here, though. This is well after it. And yes, it's the only time I'm going to pronounce it Caesar. I know they don't have soft C's. It's supposed to be Caesar, but we're probably going to say Caesar from now on. Otherwise, we sound like douchebags.
Oh, is that how it's supposed to be pronounced?
It's supposed to be Caesar. Yep.
Oops.
Just like the German emperor and the Roman czar.
Germania.
Yep, that's where it comes from. Those words come from there. But yes, we are here, Brett and Lucy, on the path for 2000's Best Picture winner, Gladiator, and we are closing out History Month or Dad Month, Dad Movie Month.
What a wild ride it's been. I've really enjoyed History Month.
God, I really haven't. It's funny because, like, The Patriot, I keep thinking about The Patriot. I think I just love the setting of it.
Loved it.
I know.
Loved it so much. It's so dumb, but I loved it.
It's so dumb. The history is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love that colonial feeling. And the stupid Fallout. I'm still playing Fallout 4, and it's like colonial Boston feel.
Yeah.
So I'm still on that. But here, speaking of a Fallout game, this has a New Vegas feel, as there's a Caesar's Legion in Fallout New Vegas.
Well, I've never played any Fallout games, but now I feel like I need to jump on that bandwagon with the success of the TV show and kind of rebirth of all the games.
Yeah, there was a big sale that you just missed buy them. Yeah, but Fallout 4 would be the one to go to. I know everyone's going to be like, but Fallout New Vegas is the best. No, but Fallout 4 is very accessible to play.
Okay, like it's a good one to start with, you think?
It's a very good one to start with. Next time it goes on sale.
I'll grab it.
I know I said it last time, I still say if you have any interest, it goes out to anybody, if you have any interest in that show, it is worth watching the first episode to see if you want to continue.
I probably will. I've got a couple of train journeys coming up this weekend,
perfect.
So I might watch a couple. I think they're not, are they long episodes?
Like they start, the first one is like 70 something minutes.
Wow, okay.
They get shorter all the way down to like 43 minutes, and then they build back up to like 62, 63, 64 at the end.
That's interesting.
Paced really weirdly, but yes, it's very good, very good feel of the games. We are not here for Fallout. We are here for Pax Romana, or the end of Pax Romana. Stick around to the end of this week's episode, because you're going to see what we may do, may not. I don't know. We kind of talked about it before. We'll kind of see what it is. Stick around. We'll talk about what is coming up. Our Patreon episode this one, patreon.com/onthepath. We did a Get Him to the Greek, not history, but about Diddy, some bad people. And ultimately weird movie, very Apatow-esque movie of the mid-noughties.
Yeah, it was good fun to rewatch that now that it's, 20 years later or something.
Yeah, and who doesn't love Russell Brand?
Well, exactly. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, all right, so check out Discord, all the links below. Rates and review it wherever you are listening as well. Okay, here we go. We are here. How about year 2000? Gladiator budgeted at $103 million. I guess that the three kind of kicked up. Some sort of producer probably needed that, pay some debts.
That was somebody, yeah.
Somebody owed
I
that.
Would say you said this was Best Picture, right? So this is probably a smashing success. And we've got Gladiator 2 due to release some point this year. In terms of how much it grossed, I'm going to say like 400 mil.
Ooh, on the right path. 465.
Oh, okay.
0.4 million. And yes, Sword and Sandals is what this was obviously called. It was not really that Sword and Sandals type thing from like the 50s and 60s. But this did have a big part in like the older history stuff combined with Braveheart 95. You know, mm-hmm. stuff like Saving Private Ryan in 98, you know, World War II was always going to be something kind of in vogue. But again, going back to this almost like fantasy kind of thing, this old Roman Empire, mm-hmm. a year before Lord of the Rings, I do think it really helped kind of pave that also.
Do you remember what year The Patriot came out? Was it also 2000?
It was 2000, yeah.
I was just reading that apparently Mel Gibson was considered for the role of Max in this film. And I just thought, you would have been booked and busy, sir.
I am not joking. I was going to make that joke.
Oh, yeah?
I was going to be like, all right, Max is played by Russell Crowe. Guess who turned this down? Mel, and like jokingly say, that's fucking hilarious.
Yep, he was considered for the role. There was also someone else really random that was considered for it. Oh, Tom Cruise, Antonio Banderas. No.
A Spaniard, hello. Yeah, like that would have worked.
That would have made more sense. Yeah.
That would,
this guy from New Zealand.
Tom Cruise would have been terrible. Antonio Banderas, I don't think he's gonna be bad in anything. I don't think you can miscast him. I think he would have been great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the only three that were noted there, but I just thought how funny it would be if it was Mel Gibson again, and we are inadvertently a Mel Gibson podcast now.
It's just everything.
We were Nick Cage and now we're Mel Gibson.
We accidentally made December Chris Columbus, the writer director. Yes, that was truly coincidental, subliminal, I guess, subconsciously did that. Brought the tomato meter. I'm excited for this.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let me read this to you. It says, this is what the critics have to say about 2000's Gladiator. Released May 5th as well. I didn't see that. Summer blockbuster. So while not everybody will be entertained by Gladiator's glum revenge story, Russell Crowe thunderously wins the crowd with a star-making turn that provides Ridley Scott's opulent resurrection of Rome, its bruised heart.
All right, so I'm going to guess, and if I'm wrong, you can tell me, I'll just be like, all right, I'm wrong. This has to be in the 90s. It's in the 90s, right?
For the critics?
Yeah, the critics.
It's actually not.
God damn it. All right, I was going to guess like 92. So
wow.
It's in the it has the 80s then.
Yeah, so it is certified fresh.
Damn. Okay.
But it's on the low end of certified fresh at 80%.
Wow. I'm shocked at that.
But there's only 259 reviews, so I guess
I know,
it's an
but
older
I thought
film, but...
from I was 16 when this came out. I think I said it last time. I dragged my mom to see this.
Aww.
And she did not want to see it at all. Oh my God, a gladiator. And she fell in love with Russell Crowe. Who would not after this movie?
Oh, of course. I mean, yeah.
But she absolutely loved this movie. And I was like, it was okay.
I wasn't sure. I think I said last time as well that this is probably going to be the first time I've ever sat down and watched it like end to end. And there were bits where I was like, this is a bit long now. But overall, I did really enjoy it as well.
Yeah, I was wrong. I would have guessed this was universal acclaim. I don't remember hearing anything negative about this. I was just universally, it won Best Picture. It won Best Director. It was nominated for screenplay. He was nominated. I'm sorry, I just said he won for actor. It just got all these major things. And I just, I thought this was like near universal praise.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, 80 does seem low.
All right. For the audience, I'm guessing 92.
Ooh, so 87. What's wrong with people? Why don't they like Gladiator that
honestly,
much?
Honestly, I thought I underdid it at 92.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, wow. 87. Still tasty popcorn, but 87% in total.
I'm stunned. I cannot believe that the audience was not over 90.
I expected that too, to be fair. Yeah.
Wow.
There you go.
All right, there it is. As we mentioned before, this is a Ridley Scott. He is a Sir Ridley Scott.
Wow, I didn't know that.
You remember where he's from?
Ridley Scott.
We've talked about it before. What movie did we do of his already? What did we do? We did something because I know we already talked about. Oh, Blade Runner. He did Blade Runner.
Yeah.
You don't remember where he's from, where he was born.
No, but I just seen on his Wikipedia
South
where he's from.
South Shields. Yeah.
South Shields. I'm more a North Shields kind of gal.
You explained to me that's where we went down.
No, it's not. We went to North Shields. Yeah.
Oh, well, fuck me then.
We went north of the river.
Okay,
South Shields is south of the river.
I guess I didn't remember that part. But yeah, he's old Italian. His Wikipedia picture is really funny, too.
Yeah.
He's just looking
like... He looks like he could be like a Robert Baratheon... Yeah. The old Baron from The Witcher 3, that sort of vibe, yeah.
Yeah, and this is the good Ridley Scott. One thing that he has done is made historical movies. And this is another going to be a fun thing, too, as we go through this, is you watch the theatrical cut, and I inadvertently watched the director's cut. And if you know anything I've said before about Ridley Scott, is he tends to always have director's cut. And I haven't seen Napoleon, but I have not heard from dozen people or so, and across the political spectrum, people who are historians and then people who are, you know, they may like history or something like that. I have not heard one good thing about Napoleon.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, I've heard it. Everything I've heard is it's tried to be too much. But here's the thing, and I've said this before, Kingdom of Heaven, the movie he did about the Crusades,
yes,
the theatrical cut is terrible. I remember I was there opening night. I saw it. It was awful. It's a bad movie.
Yeah.
But the director's cut not only makes it good, it makes it great. And it
That's
is usually
so weird.
If you look up director's cuts, first off, it's always going to be Ridley Scott. Blade Runner was another one where they did that. Like Kingdom of Heaven, though, is always up there on almost everybody's list as far as the movie best from a director's cut.
That's so weird. So it's mainly the edit that changes then, I guess.
The director's cut also added like 30-something minutes. Like it wasn't like 15 minutes, but it did. It put in why certain characters are together. And I remember there was something where all of a sudden it was Orlando Bloom and Eva Green. They were really close. And I'm like, wait, what? When did they get romantic? Was I asleep? Oh, I must have missed that. No, they just cut out all this shit. But I could not believe that it made a bad movie into a great one.
Yeah, it's not even just made it watchable. It's actually made it an all-around different film.
Unbelievable.
Interesting.
Yeah, couldn't believe it. All right, so
that's a shame about Napoleon, though. That's Joaquin Phoenix as well, isn't it?
It is, and I thought from the get-go it was miscast. Just without even seeing what angle they were going for. But I think everything I also saw just said it tried to do too much.
Okay, yeah. I am really excited to see the next Joker film with Lady Gaga and him.
Like, Voler au Dieu or something? Du au Folie or something? I don't remember.
Something like that, yeah. I just call it Joker 2.
I have not seen Joker.
It's a good watch. It's pretty hard watch, actually. It's quite difficult to watch certain scenes, but I think it's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, I've heard it's basically... I can't remember his name. Todd... He did old school. He did all those dumb stoner comedies and drunk comedy, Will Ferrell comedies. It's like him trying to do like a Scorsese 70s crime. Like it has that feel.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What I heard.
I just
hard-boiled,
ended
grimy.
Up like rooting for Joker towards the end. I was like, yeah, fucking kill everyone.
Yeah, and I've heard the problem that people say the problematic parts of that.
Yeah.
Of it. So I will I'll 100% get around to that sometime. All right, screenplay has 3 credits on here, but the main one, David Franzoni, who apparently, from what I looked at, was the one who was actually nominated for, or I guess they all did. Oh, maybe because he was co-produced it. He also did King Arthur, a famous, bombing here of it. That was Antoine Fuqua's King Arthur.
I've never even heard of that.
Clive Owen, Keira Knightley, Stellan Skarsgård.
Oh, my girl, what are you doing in there?
Stephen Delane, the true King Stannis Baratheon. That's him.
Yes, the one true king. And Stellan Skarsgård is in there, too.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mads Mikkelsen puts in there. Antoine Fuqua, too. Anyway, that was pretty bad. He also did Amistad, who also starred Jaimin Hansu, who was in this movie.
Who's that?
He's the black guy, the one.
Oh, the one
Nubian
black guy.
Yeah, the one black guy, Jaimin Hansu. He's in everything.
Yes. Yeah, I did recognize him, actually.
Yeah, he's in a bunch. As I mentioned before, that Laugh a Minute Riot Amistad about the slave rebellion and the trial in the States about it.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the one that I So peel behind the curtain here. Lucy wanted to do it for a Black History Month special month. She's like, oh, this movie, it's so funny. Oh my God, you'll never. I was like, oh, what is it? What is it? She's like, Amistad. It's this hilarious romp about these slave revolts. And I'm like,
no. You keep making in the Discord when I'm asleep. Yeah. So I wake up and everyone's like, wow, Lucy, this is not acceptable.
I do it over there. You're like, you wanted Malcolm X. You wanted Ghosts of Mississippi. I'm like, no, Lucy, no. Not this climate. I don't know how y'all do it over there in England.
I wake up and I'm getting canceled every day.
It's like, why do I have 70 mentions? 70 mentions in there. Okay. So with that, let's get into this. Again, a long ass movie. There was a lot of times in here that I did not put anything down. So
Sam.
Feel free to pull back whenever we go. We do get the exposition here on the screen. The Roman Empire stretched from the deserts of Africa to the borders of Northern England. Oh,
hey-o.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Y'all were the last ones that got conquered. They went to, you know, modern day Scotland, the Gaels and Scots, and they were like, fuck off, Romans. We don't want your shit.
Is that when Hadrian's Wall got put up?
That was Hadrian's Wall. The Emperor Hadrian did. And then George R. Martin was like, I'm going to make this 300 feet and then realize how absurd that is when I have to write about it.
I'm going to make it ice as well.
Isn't it supposed to be like something like 300 feet?
In Game of Thrones?
It's something insane.
It's ridiculous that they had to climb it. It's absolutely insane.
And it's one of those that he looked and just, or afterwards he was like, yeah, I made that too big. I didn't think about it actually. Like
it's great in a book. And then on TV, it's like, now it looks a bit silly.
It's great in a book, but like you said, when you want people to scale it, you're like, oh, this was not. I didn't plan that. Wait, George R. R. Martin not planning anything ahead? No. As someone from 2047 is listening to this, Winds of Winter never came out. No. Here's what I want. Actually, I want him to live until he's like 99 and it never to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And until his dying day, he has to deal with it.
I think he might release it on his deathbed. That might be his final act.
It's funny because it's to the point now where I truly don't think about it until once every maybe several months. What if it does come out? Because at this point, it's just not going to.
Yeah. I think I've not read the books, but I only think about it when he announces something else and everyone in the comments is like, George, stop working on Elden Ring. Work on Game of Thrones.
Stop. But he did say, and so far it's true, nothing else Game of Thrones related is going to come out. Like, he really wants to do the second part of the Targaryen thing.
Oh yeah,
and other like Dunk and Egg stuff or something along those. But he said nothing until Winds of Winter. I just want to know. Here's what I want to know. I don't care anymore. I'm more fascinated by the story of it coming out. It's almost like Terry Gilliam, the man who killed Don Quixote. He tried to make a film about Don Quixote forever, and it got to the point where it was more interesting, the development hell, and him trying to get it made than the actual movie. And sure enough, the movie came out like 5 or 6 years ago, and like nobody gave a shit. Because
At this point, it's been too long.
The documentary about it not being made came out 20 years ago. And so that's the thing. Now, I would rather read a book or a long form article about the lack they're making of Winds of Winter than I actually want to read the Winds of Winter.
Yeah, I'd love to know the process. He really should have someone like Louis Theroux, like following him around, interviewing him, making a documentary about it, and just seeing what his process or lack thereof is.
Because he's also admitted that he killed somebody off that is now essential to tying everything together. I'm like, I swear to Christ, if it's Ned Stark, I'm going to shit myself.
No.
If it's of all people Ned Stark, he's like, yeah, I guess I needed Ned. I will just laugh myself into the fucking grave.
Oh my God. I mean, he's brought people back from the dead plenty of times now.
And that's another problem.
It's not out of the scope, is it?
And that's another funny fucking thing. I promise we'll get back to Gladiator. I promise y'all.
We will.
Last thing is like where it left off in, fuck, what was it? I don't even know. Dance of the Dragon, whatever the hell he calls it. Not the Dance of the Dragons is what we're about to see in House of the Dragon. So Dance of Dragons, whatever the fucking book is, I don't know.
Something like that.
Jon Snow has been killed. He has not been resurrected in the books yet.
Oh, really?
The last thing is him dying, and probably, spoiler alert, probably jumping into Ghost, because in the books they can go
like
into
warging.
They can warg, not just Bran, they all can warg.
Yes.
So he's probably into Ghost with his dead fucking body. So the soul of Jon Snow is probably now in Ghost for how long?
Yeah.
That okay. We'll get back to Gladiator, because now I actually care about the story.
Now
and one thing about
Game of Thrones.
It's like trying
podcast.
To care about the Kennedy assassination. It's like you're never really gonna know what happened, so why devote all your time
we
to
were
it?
Talking about that flight MH37 or some 370 yesterday, because it had been like
but they found
10 years or something.
But they found
and we
stuff
were,
about that.
Did they?
I
Has it
thought
been resolved though?
Okay, I thought they at least said that they did. I could have sworn something came out about that, about
A
MH370, right?
mystery.
Malaysia
Yeah.
flight. Yeah, they're with Amelia Earhart and Tupac and Kennedy and Elvis and Arnold Palmer or whoever else there. I don't fucking know. They're all chilling on an island in the
They're all chilling.
In the South Pacific. Okay, back to Gladiator.
Yeah. Let's
All right.
Circle back.
At my signal, unleash hell.
Oh, so badass.
This accent, this isn't really full on Australian that he is.
Well, he's from New Zealand, isn't he?
Is he New Zealand?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh shit.
But yeah,
well, fuck
you
me.
don't hear his Kiwi accent at all.
Well, I'd say even less. Yeah, he is New Zealand. Okay, then I'd say it's even less of that. And yeah, I'm trying to think. Like I said, Antonio Banderas, I think, could do it. But whatever he's doing here, it just fucking works.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he just sounded like a gruff northern person. But
yeah.
Like he obviously shouldn't, because
it's
he's
so
meant to be from Spain. But
that's the thing. People are just like, oh, he's from Spain. He should sound Spanish. No, Spanish was not a language. Like, this is a completely different thing. It's like a lot of North Africans. North Africans at this time are not the North Africans from today, because it's the pre-Islamic conquest. So when I heard that about, oh, it's Spaniard, it should be somebody Spanish, even though I just said Antonio Banderas, who is Spanish. Don't get me wrong. I know I just said that. I'd like it in there. It's not the same. It does not work like that.
I liked his accent, though. I thought it just worked. It didn't. It wasn't over the top of anything, so I think it didn't like stand out that much to me, which I think is good.
And he's L.A. Confidential. He's so goddamn good. He's just a
brute. I don't know him from loads of stuff, apart from Robin Hood.
L.A. Confidential was on the short list of movies for my birthday. Yeah.
Was it?
It
okay.
was. It was. Your birthday's coming up. Y'all stay tuned. Lucy's pick is coming up.
There was only one movie on the short list for my week.
I think anybody who's been active in Discord or just knows about you, the movie you're going to pick, it has to be on the short list of anybody if they said pick three.
Yeah, maybe like, I will. Maybe I'll change my mind.
Ooh, I did. I pulled out.
You did change your mind. Yeah.
I did. But I'm unpredictable like that. I'm a wild card.
Yeah, I'm
I like
a
to
bit
keep people
more
on their toes.
Yeah. I'll see. I'll have a think.
Yeah. All right. What we do in life echoes in eternity.
Ugh.
That is on the poster. And this is just, this again goes to where, and I'm so glad we did the Patriot right before this. Because to compare the Patriots' corny-ass screenplay and lines with this is shows you like why one best picture.
Yes.
And why
and one
didn't. We laughed at.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I think it also, for some reason to me, I don't know if this is me being non-American, but everything said by an American sounds cheesier.
I think about this all the time. I know I've said it before. Whenever I watch, I just got dragged into watching Bridgerton.
Yes,
I know.
I was meant to ask you about this.
So now y'all cue the time for a special Bridgerton episode that will be, it will obviously anything like that will be Patreon. Hopefully you don't lose Patreons by adding a special bonus. But I've noticed this at times. There are so many times when I'm watching something and it's an American or it's a Brit or somebody doing an American accent. Okay, so I'm just going to say it's somebody speaking with an American accent, whether they're American or not, to me is moot. That is where I'm like, oh, they're terrible. They're a wooden actor. They're no good. I cannot think of any time in any movie, no matter the production level, whether it's a fucking Hallmark movie or anything up to a $200 million movie, if somebody is speaking with some kind of British, meaning what I mean is like an English accent, pretty much this, not Scottish, not Irish, anything like that. Actually, you can probably add those as well. I never see them as a bad actor. I never see them as wooden. I never see it as maybe underselling can do that. Definitely overacting. But I never look at somebody with a fucking non-American accent and think, oh, they're a terrible actor.
Yeah. Maybe you need to watch some more like daytime TV next time you're in England because they're so bad.
But you know it because you're native to that. That's all you've heard. To me, I can pick out the American ones, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it drives me crazy when someone does a Texas accent, and I'm like, you're just doing a fucking Southern accent. You're not doing Texas. It's not the same. Or they're just doing something, and I'm like, you're supposed to be from the Midwest. Like, why are you doing, like, a Southern one? I'm like, you know, this is a fucking Midwest. It's a completely different fucking region. So I think something like that, you'd be more privy to understanding it.
Maybe. Well, I'll send some clips and we'll test out this theory. But yeah, I think that was the main difference for me between The Patriot and this, is that he's got a silly American accent in The Patriot.
But it's Mel Gibson.
I know.
But I don't think that, because Mel Gibson, God, fucking Mel Gibson. I hate him, but I love him as like an on-screen presence.
Yeah, I loved every one of his corny lines that he delivered. I loved it, and he did it great. But I also was like, ha, that's silly.
What about the You're My Child, huh?
Oh,
which was in
it.
The trailer, which was in the trailer.
Is it? Oh. Yeah.
I'm not a child, you're my child. I'm like, oh,
you'll always
knew.
Be my child. I'd be like, my mom says that to me all the time. Yeah. So that hit me right in the feels.
They knew to put that in there. All right. Last possible thing, because I wanted to get this in before we go back. We are really doing a number on this. Usually when we talk about random shit, it's because we don't want to talk about a movie. We actually like this movie.
We
but the
like
last thing
one.
Is Penelope and Bridgerton, I guess, was in Dairy Girls.
Yes.
Okay. That was told to me in that they're like, yeah, Dairy Girls. I was like, I've heard of that.
Yes.
And I know that's in Northern Ireland.
Yes. Well, Nicola Coughlin is from the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, but Derry. Derry is Northern Ireland, right?
Yes. Yeah, okay, yeah. So then that was like her big break, I guess, Derry Girls, where she puts on a very strong Northern Irish accent to be from Derry.
Nice.
And she said in an interview that she based her accent off of Nicola or Nicole from Girls Aloud. And she did the quote that I can't remember. Did Shannon say it to you once where she was like, my date of birth is the 15th and the 6th, 85, and making me a Gemini. And she tried to make you say it, and you like read it like
I could barely pick up, like,
very funny.
Yeah, that was it. I heard Gemini something 85.
Yeah,
okay.
She was this Northern Irish girl from Derry, and she was on one of those shows back in the day where they put a group of girls together and make them into a pop band. You know, they made a girl group, and she lied about her age to get on the show, and then in an interview, she like casually said her date of birth. She goes, my date of birth is 16th to the 5th, 85, making me a Gemini. And then her face drops because she realizes she's revealed that she's 16 and not 18. So then it goes on this whole other thing, but just her accent makes everything hilarious.
Just everything. It's just an absurd accent, isn't it?
It's wild.
It is
insane.
Wild.
It's nothing like mine.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all.
It's actually not.
Yeah, because
dear listeners, I don't sound like I'm from Derry.
Yeah, of course not. Who would even know?
No.
Except you. All right. this fight here, I looked up some things on it. They called it like an onager in here as well. That was like the catapult, the thing that launched those fireballs and all that.
Oh, shit. That was badass.
It was badass, which is why it probably wasn't real. I couldn't find anything definitive on it, but I'm like, there's no way that this would have been done in a forest at this time. It looked badass. But the only thing I could really find was it was really like the Mongols that really used like these type of siege engines, because those are siege engines there usually. Now, the ballistas that they used, the big ass fucking, you know, bow and arrow stuff, they did use those. I don't know if they would have been using them on a hilly forest, because you'd have to drag that through there. And I also know that cavalry charge through a forest. I don't think so. That's no. Cavalry
pretty
is
dangerous.
Cavalry is open ground together. Like, yeah, no, it looked badass in there, but I don't think anything in there. And usually when like the Romans and all that, they'd have the spear. Okay. So the Roman spear, that's called like a pila.
Yep.
What they would usually do with that, and I saw the note in here, is they would always throw that. as they're about to go in, because they would throw it and then they'd pull out their gladius, the short sword, hence the gladiator and all that. But I saw where they wanted to do it, or like Ridley Scott wanted to do it, where they throw the pila into the crowd before. And they were just like, yeah, we can't do that. You can't be hurling stuff into a crowd of extras and somebody not get hurt, even if it wasn't, you know, because it was like, it has to be looking sharp at least. And like, yeah, we can't do that. So that's that's the reason why they wanted to do that. And that's the reason why they didn't.
Oh, the magic of movies. You'd think there'd be some way of doing it.
You would think, but this was a badass looking battle. The Romans look badass. The armor, the helmets and all that. The wolf was also, I saw, that little wolf or dog, I should say, was also, I guess, very accurate as well, because they would, like, generals and commanders would have, like, a dog.
Oh, I loved that, where they let him go and he followed Max all the way through the battle and helped him out. I loved it. I wish I could have those. I've been playing this game that I think you would like. It's called Manor Lords. Have you seen it?
I've heard of it. I've heard of Banner Lord. Manor
No,
Lord?
It's called Manor Lords. It's basically like a city building simulator, but it has like full scale real time battles in it as well. You have to
Medieval.
Like build up an army. And it's I've just been really enjoying it the last few days. And I was thinking that when I watched Gladiators, like, oh, I wish I could send my dogs to battle as well.
Yeah, but like in this, they're gonna die. Like they die. So yeah, so the but yeah, the of course in this they have to show the dog dying and it'd be like, oh no no no. So
that's when you know shit's getting real.
Yeah. Wait.
Did you notice a little robin?
Wait, did the dog die?
I thought I saw something.
Oh,
we don't see it for the rest of the movie.
I was trying to lead you into that, that was like one of the director's cut. I thought you were gonna be like, wait, the dog dies? I'm like, oh yeah, didn't you see?
Did the dog die?
The dog did not die, I was making that up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we just didn't see the dog again, so I assumed it dead.
It's like
killed
a
in action.
It's like a Jaws Spielberg death. No, what was the robin?
There was a
remember.
Robin bird at the very start of the film.
I don't remember. Oh.
It's really weird. It was just like on the screen for a second, then my stutter came out there. And then it was just Russell Crowe.
I don't remember that.
Oh, well, I don't know why it was there either.
Interesting.
I looked up like, what does it symbolize? It's meant to symbolize like new beginnings, hope, and then like a message from a past loved one. But at this point, nobody's died.
Yeah, and I was gonna. We'll get to that at the end. Yeah, about me spoiling something. All right, but we see the man in purple, and this again.
Oh, yeah.
The purple is interesting because I forgot to look it up for Rome. This is going to be the big color of the Byzantine Empire, which was the Roman Empire. So sometime in 300, was it like after Constantine or whatever, something like that, or with Constantine, the Roman Empire split. It was too big. It went to the Eastern Empire and the Roman Empire. Rome fell in 476. The Eastern Empire lived on to what we call the Byzantine Empire because it was based in the city of Byzantium, which then became Constantinople, which is modern-day Istanbul, the capital of Turkey.
Yeah.
But they called themselves Romans, and it was the Roman Empire until it fell in 1453. We just call it the Byzantine to separate it because they were Greek, completely different religion and all that. And that was like purple. Born in the purple is what it was called if you were born while your dad essentially was an emperor. If you were born before that, you were not born in the purple. The Byzantines were stupid because someone could be born and it's the eldest son, and then they become emperor, and then another kid gets born and they're born in the purple, which kind of puts them in a way superseding the elder. They were so goddamn dumb. They just wanted chaos in the Byzantine Empire.
Yeah, their hierarchy makes little to no sense.
It does,
like.
But it carried on the tradition like in this movie, as we get to, because when Commodus dies in real life, it was the year of the five emperors.
Oh, wow.
Because they kept killing each other. They kept doing it. But we see...
Five emperors in 1 year. I can only imagine the absolute hell on that would be if it was happening in England now.
Just
like, it's already not looking good for Charles, isn't it? So we could be having two in 2 years.
Yeah, but they don't actually have any power, you know? Like, this was
But imagine we might get a whole nother week off work.
They would not do that. Would they really do that again?
Well, I mean, it would be a bit rude not to, wouldn't it?
To get William? Oh my God, that'd be great. God, that'd be great. All right, and then, no, we won't go down that. We won't go down and get that. We go again.
Sorry.
Okay. All right, so we have, Mark, take two. Emperor Dumbledore here.
What the fuck? I said, as soon as he came on, I was like, he sounds like Dumbledore.
Is
he looks
him?
Like Dumbledore.
Yeah.
It's Dumbledore.
Exactly
The
like
OG Dumbledore.
The OG Dumbledore. This is Richard Harris, Marcus Aurelius Antoninus. He was a real character. He was real. Commodus was real. I should say that. Oh, we haven't explained. Russell Crowe, Maximus Decimus Meridius. That
Great
was it.
Name.
That's it, right? Okay. Maximus Decimus Meridius. Not a real person. Could be a conglomerate of whatever, but this is not a real person. But this emperor here, Marcus Aurelius, was an actual emperor. He was the last of what was called the five good emperors. And a
right.
lot of historians consider his death, which was not by Commodus. Commodus did not kill him. His death was the end of the Pax Romana, or the Roman peace, the era of general Roman peace and expansion. So from Marcus Aurelius's death is pretty much all downhill until the end in 476.
When they say he's good, do they just mean he's like not evil?
Yeah, for the most part. He like expanded the empire. He's this whole thing too with him fighting these Germanic tribes was an actual thing. Manic wars or something like that. He fought them for, fuck me, do I have that down here? It was like 15 so odd years or something like that. But I don't know, we'll come back. I have it somewhere down here. We'll get, yeah. So Commodus, he named Commodus, I know I have to say Caesar. He named Commodus Caesar in 166, okay?
Oh, so he did in real life.
But here's the thing. Caesar at that time was like an heir apparent. It's like the Prince of Wales or the Dauphin in French.
Okay.
It was the next in line, all right? Augustus at this time was the big boy emperor. So, and Augustus Caesar being the first emperor, the adopted son of Julius Caesar, going all the way back. So Augustus was the top one. Caesar was like the Prince of Wales. So he named him basically saying he's going to take over after me so you can have this succession. In 177, they ruled jointly. So in real life, Commodus and Marcus Aurelius ruled jointly for 3 years. So I know it's a movie and I know it's doing that, but it's quite the opposite. Marcus Aurelius knew exactly what he's doing. Commodus was his eldest son, and Commodus had basically been in charge for 3 years before.
I'd love if we could somehow, you know, speak to those that have passed on and be like, look, they've made this movie about you and they've made you, you know, not name Commodus Caesar, and then he kills you. They'd be like, what the fuck?
Well, I would love
to
know
how it happens.
I'd love to know what the real Marcus Aurelius thought of Commodus, because Commodus is toned down in this movie.
Really?
We'll get to the shit that he did, because he was fucking nuts, which a lot of Roman emperors, a lot of them were. But you talk about the Roman names. I fucking love it. And I always thought, like, because Gaius Julius Caesar is like the Julius Caesar we think of. And I think of, like, if I had a kid, like this name, Gaius Julius Cervantes.
That's
like,
pretty cool.
That's a badass name.
Even just Julius is really cool.
Julius, Gaius Julius Cervantes. I'm like, that's kind of badass.
It works well with Cervantes.
Spaniard, Spanish names.
Exactly.
They work. Yeah, they work there.
Is that
so,
what could I call you that now, or is that offensive?
What, Spaniard?
If I just call you Spaniard.
I mean, I'm definitely more like of the Mexican descent. Like the Spanish goes God how many centuries back. But sure, again, as I mentioned before, the Shakespeare of the Spanish language is Miguel de Cervantes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Don Quixote. Mentioned Don Quixote before. Look at that.
There we go.
Pulling
Spaniard.
It all together. So Commodus Maximus is the hero. How can it reward Rome's greatest general? We're going to see it later, because Commodus gives himself what is called a triumph. And it's where we get that name. So this parade through the streets of Rome with your slaves, your captives, and your spoils of war in tow. Now, a lesser one of these, when it's like, nah, it's not that good, is called an ovation, where we also get that name again as well. And it died out again by this time for the generals to get. Only the emperors got them at this time, because they only had the title of imperator, as I said earlier, which is basically like conqueror or commander.
Okay. Yeah, I was writing a lot of notes during this film of like, I need to research, what does it mean to be an empire? What does it mean to be an emperor? How is that different to like a king?
The king, yeah. Honestly, it's a name. It's like,
just a different naming convention.
It's basically, if you think about, if you have, and this comes from a Crusader Kings thing, if you have multiple kingdoms, you can be an empire. Because an emperor is above a king. So you can have that where you have like the Holy Roman Empire, in like the Middle Ages and all that throughout. The emperor, and then you had like the king, they're also king of Germany, and then you
Yeah.
have like the king of Naples and stuff like that underneath. So it's an
Because we
emperor
have the
that's
British
above that.
Empire, right?
Yeah, but it's
But
weird.
she's
People,
not an empress. That
y'all
would be
were not.
badass if she was an empress.
See, that was always fascinating to me because y'all did not shy away from calling yourselves an empire.
Oh, but it's not really.
Well, it was because you called it
It
it, but
was,
why would
yeah.
you not have an emperor? Because I think, honestly, even though y'all were just dreadful to so many parts of the world, hey, concentration camps started by the British, the Boer Wars.
Oh, no.
I mentioned that on fucking, oh my God, I think it was Love Actually. I think it's when I went on that tirade. That
I was going
tirade
to say,
about,
like, why would we talk about that in Love
remember that? The
Actually?
tirade of the
Yeah, I
crimes
do.
of the
I might go
British
back and
Empire.
re-listen to
I know. I need to pull that for a clip. I'm gonna pull a lot
that.
of clips. I'm about to close on a house, and I'm gonna have a lot of time because I'm not gonna have a lot of money. So
Yeah.
come June, when I have a lot of time, I'm gonna start gonna be pulling a lot of clips. So y'all out there, if y'all have some clips in the past, send me the episode and like the timestamp,
Yeah,
and I
we'll
will
clip
gladly
them, ship them.
I'll pull those and start shipping them out to the socials. But it was always weird to me why it never did. And I think honestly because it was like garish if you call yourself an emperor. But also
Yeah.
there were no the last it's funny you mentioned that. I never thought about it. Who the last emperor to call it that or empire, was it like World War One? The Austro-Hungarian Empire, which ended after that, and the German Empire, the Kaiser, which they got from again from Caesar. That's weird. Russian Empire was the same thing, and that died out in World
No
War One.
emperor.
Yeah, it's literally like World War One, just like, oh, that's too garish.
Oh, I wish they would call it them an emperor. That would be so cool. If William's like, fuck this shit, I'm gonna be an emperor now instead of a king, I'd be like,
I highly
okay.
doubt that would endear himself
No, it
to
would
his
not go
loyal
down well.
subjects.
Oh, yeah. They'll be lining the streets at Buckingham Palace
But
just to see their new emperor.
if he did that, he could then name, like, as the Prince of Wales can now be the King of England. And then he can have a king
Yeah.
of Scotland. He can have a king of Wales, a king of Northern Ireland, a
Oh,
king of
shit.
Canada, a king of Australia.
Amazing.
Okay,
Yeah, that would
now
be fun, wouldn't it?
this is just the Crusader Kings 2 in me, like the gamer in me being like, that's badass. Because that's so much, that's so fucking awesome about that game is once you create an empire, you just start giving all your children the kingdoms, like make them kings and queens. And it's so badass.
Imagine you just say to your child, okay, you're in charge of Australia now.
You're the king of
Off you go.
Australia.
Other side of the world for you.
God, that's awesome. God, now I want that. I want to be a bootlicker. Oh, I'm in America. We're the biggest bootlicking country in the world. Okay. Commodus, though, shows up. Lucius Aelius Aurelius Commodus. His full name. That's his full name. Lucius Aelius Aurelius
I thought you that
Commodus.
was his sister, but that's
I'm
Lucilla.
gonna guess based on inflection that it's supposed to be Commodus instead of Commodus. Commodus, like the anglicized version.
Commodus.
Yeah,
Yeah, that
Commodus is
sounds
probably
right.
what it's gonna be. Have I missed the battle? You've missed the war. And again, it was one of those. No, he was there. He did all that. But from the get-go, and it's what makes this movie great. And this is something too that when you're 16, you don't fucking think about. But when you're definitely older or just more well-versed in movies, they did a damn good job in this movie. And I should say Joaquin Phoenix was nominated for supporting actor as well.
Wow.
They did a damn good job of humanizing Commodus and
Yeah.
seeing like he wants the favor of his dad, but he's not good enough for it. And he's a shithead and he probably doesn't deserve it. But he sees here his dad favor a general and someone he grew up with because he calls Maximus a brother. And I thought he did an excellent job that I don't remember of actually kind of sympathizing with him.
Oh, I fully did. I felt
Yeah.
awful for him in the moments before he kills his dad.
Man,
I
I
felt awful
just.
for him. I felt so awful where he's like, I just want you to love me. I want to be good enough.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. And so the biggest reason why he ends up killing Marcus is there a lot of talk here about saving Rome from the politicians. This infighting is spot fucking on with the Roman Empire. I cannot believe the Roman Empire lasted as long as it did throughout these. I think it's just how strong it was because you had the emperor who kind of do whatever they want, but the Senate was still there. And
Yeah.
while it wasn't the Senate of the Republic, which died, I think, 27 BC, which is when Augustus, basically when the Roman Empire started, was. This basically, like, they're representing the people, and we get this SBQR thing coming later. This infighting here, I just don't see how it didn't do earlier, because Commodus and other emperors would get rid of their enemies, and then they would assassinate the emperor, and then another emperor would take over. And you would just think at some point that the senators would have had at least enough power to restore it, but it was like there was always an emperor or a pretender that always had an army or always had the Praetorian Guard to take over. And it's like this was a horrific, horrible, like, government here.
Like the way the system
the
worked.
The way
yeah.
the system worked.
Just shouldn't have worked for so long.
And it happened with the Byzantine Empire, where you just had assassination after assassination. And somebody would take over and be like, yeah, I killed him, but I have the army, so I'm in charge now. And then, yay, yeah. Hail Caesar. And then, like, 6 months later, like, yo, this dude kind of sucks, too. What about this guy? This guy in Bulgaria. What about him? Oh, yeah, yeah. Put him on the throne. And they just over and over and over.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason to it. Just as and when you please.
So goddamn dumb. All right. Connie Nielsen. I have not seen her in forever. I totally forgotten about her. She is Annea Aurelia Galeria Lucilla, the
yeah,
sister
the
and
sister.
The daughter, the sister of Commodus, and the daughter of Marcus Aurelius. Different mothers, though, because the name he, what's the name he said? When later on in the movie, when Lucius, the son, talks to Maximus through the gate or through the prison, he says the last name. You know what he says? Aurelia, doesn't he?
I can't remember what he said exactly.
I may be talking out of my ass there. I think they had different mothers, but I may be wrong. So maybe disregard that. Unless I'm right, then regard it.
I noticed that Connie Nielsen had a link to our Patreon episode this month.
She did?
Mm-hmm.
Get him to the Greek?
Yep.
Okay. Was she? Okay. I'm listening.
Do you know how?
No, I don't.
So from 2004 to 2012, she dated Metallica drummer Lars Ulrich.
Wait. They're both Danish. Great
Danes.
Yeah,
they are. They have one son together.
Interesting. Okay. All right. I would like to fully retract my statement. They did have the same parents.
Okay.
Marcus Aurelius.
So they have same mom and same dad.
Same mom, same dad. Marcus Aurelius and Faustina the Younger.
Oh.
Faustina the Younger. Yes. They had a bunch of them, but Commodus was the oldest son and a bunch of daughters. And I do think they definitely put in something very 2000 where Marcus says to her, if you were a man, you'd make a great Caesar. And I'm like, that feels very much of 2000 and not of this time.
Yeah, I think it would be, because that was all quite new back then, wasn't it? By now, we're like, that would be too obvious.
Yeah, but I got, before this, before that saying, I got massive Cersei vibes. Like,
I did until she rejected her brother's sexual advances.
But there was that, there was this right here, because I know they talked about with Tywin, like, mentioned, like, Cersei's like, look, if I was a boy, I'd be in charge, I'd be fucking perfect. And Tywin's just like, yeah, you're not, so tough shit.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
I got that, and then there was that, and I was like, I know that all that was written before, but I was like, man, I really got some Cersei vibes from her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could see Lena Headey in this role for sure. Yeah. Especially after 300 as well.
300. All right. Marcus asks Maximus to be the protector of Rome, not Commodus, who must not rule.
Yeah, he says he's not a moral man.
He is not a moral man. Commodus is then told he will not be emperor. And this is something here I absolutely loved. Is once Marcus tells Commodus, you will not be emperor, I'm passing you over, he doesn't immediately cry about it. He doesn't throw a fit. He asks who among the elders, who instead. Like, he, in a way, understands it. He understands how this works. He's just like, okay, who's the elder? Who's going to go above it? But when he says that it's going to be Maximus, then he can't handle it.
Yeah, it's not the fact that it's his position it's been taken. It's him personally.
It's him. It's that it was this brother that he saw. It's a general. So it's not this high ranking, like, noble. It's not this, you know, obviously it wouldn't be like a senator or something like that. But I love that, because I was fully expecting it, him to be just whatever. Da, 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 who is, and then him telling people like, oh, excuse me. No, instantly he's just like, okay, who else is it going to be? It's like if it was somebody else and it was an older noble, then he would have been okay with it. And I don't think he would have killed him. And I think he would have just done whatever.
I think he probably would have accepted it a lot easier if it really hadn't have been Maximus, sexy Maximus.
Yes, sexy Maximus.
And also, if he had have heard what his dad said, where he said to Max, "You are the son I should have had," I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that might have been bad. Yeah, yeah.
But the way his dad set him up in the conversation as well. The way he framed it, he starts off by saying, "Are you ready to do your duty to Rome?"
And
he's like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And he goes, "Well,
you will not become emperor. Harry Potter will become." Yeah. He sounds exactly like it. And Richard Harrison will die within a couple of years of this being filmed. This would have been filmed in 99. It came out in 2000. I think he died in 2001 or something like that. Yeah, he only had the first two Harry Potters.
Yeah.
In 01 and 02. So he will die quickly after that. But it is like he sounds exactly the same, has the same pained almost expression.
It's exactly the same way he expresses certain words and sentences. Yeah. It's like it was so recognizable, even though I didn't immediately recognize his face. It was more his voice that I picked up on.
Yes, like I kind of forgot it. I kind of forgot it until I heard him. I was like, "That's fucking Dumbledore." That's right.
Yeah,
he was Dumbledore.
Yeah.
All right. So the Praetorian Guard arrest Maximus, and they I can't remember his name. It comes up later. His first in charge command is now apparently in charge of the Praetorian Guard. This is based on a real person who I am stalling for time to see right here. This is Quintus Aemilius Laetius. Yeah. Loosely based on this guy, I should say, who did do it and I think was in charge of the Praetorian Guard. I know we mentioned it before because you said they were from Mass Effect also.
Yeah, what other film were these in? 300?
There was, yes. That's right, because I brought it up about the immortals.
About it,
I brought up the immortals, and the Romans stole so much from Greek, like so much in there. Like Jupiter was, again, the big thing in there. They took so much from it and just kind of co-opted it because that was like the best thing they could do. They go to execute him out here in this forest. They don't just kill him there, and they take this little guard out there. But no, Maximus channels his inner Benjamin Martin and goes all ghost on him.
Oh, who's Benjamin Martin?
The Patriot. God, the ghost. That was last week. God.
I just called him Mel Gibson all episode.
Ben Martin. Oh, man, I thought you were really going to get that.
No, you're right. It was exactly like that. See, this bamboozled. Bamboozled in the woods.
This is when I need to pull that clip and just have visible confusion above your head.
Buffering.
Just pause it and have the wheel.
Wait, who's that? Wait, we talked about him last week?
Last week's
wow.
episode that we talked about for two goddamn hours about Ben Martin. Okay, well, anyway, he kills them all, and then they send the Praetorian Guard to go kill his fucking family. In Hispania.
And he makes this horrible, long, grueling journey home and finds them.
It made it seem like that wasn't that long in this, when in reality he was going from, I think it was like modern day Slovakia, where this battle was, all the way to Western Spain.
That's pretty far.
That's
on
a
horse.
That's where it looks like he's doing it all in one like thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know that's where it was supposed to be, but I got the impression they were pretty far away. But yeah, it didn't seem that long, like in game time or in movie time.
Yeah. And so I said, I think I might have mentioned that about Hispania. Hispanic, you're talking about, Hispanic is where like people come from, the Iberian Peninsula and all that. It's what the Roman province was called. That's why it's where Hispania, Hispanolia, all of that stuff comes from, because so much shit comes from Greeks. Like Africa, that I'm going to bring up in a bit. Africa, Afra, Roman, all that stuff in there. We didn't like to change a lot, because Europeans, you know.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, the Romans called it that. We're just going to keep calling it that.
We'll just pronounce it a little differently.
Yeah. Holy shit. Did they just trample his fucking kid?
Yes. What the fuck?
Oh, my God. I do not remember that.
Yeah. I did not know if
that is
it
brutal.
Kind of led on like he was dreaming, but it was as if he was having a vision of what was happening. And then, the poor kid sees the horses coming and thinks it's his dad and just gets fucking trampled.
Gets trampled. And then, as we find out later, they are crucified.
Yeah. Crucified and assaulted and, yeah, all that.
Yeah. I feel like it's way more common, but I feel like I should kind of say it anyway. The crucifixion was by and large a regular means of execution for the Romans. Like Jesus being crucified was not special. That's like how they crucified. Well, no,
because you can't say Jesus isn't special, Brett.
Well, he was literally crucified next to two thieves. Like that's in the fucking gospel in there. The penitent thief as well. Oh my God, Uncharted 4. I'm rewatching the Uncharted 4 like game movie. I fucking love that game. God damn, I love that game. Absolutely perfect game. God, I'm gonna play
is it really?
It really fucking is.
Does people get crucified or something? Why did you bring that up?
I don't want to spoil it.
Oh, okay.
I spoiled this movie on the 300 episode. I'll say it now. Do you remember that?
No.
At the end of the 300 episode, I mentioned something about Gladiator. Oh, the Elysian Fields that they bring up here at the end of 300 when he's walking in like Paradise or Elysium.
Yes. Oh, you did spoil it, yeah.
I said that it was like, I'd forgotten that you hadn't
like
seen that movie. I go, but I said something, I was like, Gladiator, you're like, oh my God, spoiler. I was like, oh no. Because you're like, does he die? I'm like, no, he doesn't. I'm just saying, I played it off really well.
I'll have to go back and
read it. The fact that you didn't remember it mean I played it off amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
You didn't remember. But I remember seeing that, I was like, oh fuck, she hadn't seen it. But I talked my way out of it. I was like, good save, Brett. Jolly good save, Della. I was like, oh fuck, she has not seen that. She's the one person that hasn't seen this goddamn movie
in 24 years. Yeah,
for real, like it's what was in there. Yeah. This is when I stopped watching the first time. I have end act 48 minutes. Why do I have that? All right, so now he gets picked up by the slavers. We see this SPQR tattoo, and this is Senatus Populus Que Romanus. It is the Senate and the people of Rome.
Oh, so who had this tattoo?
Maximus has it on him.
I mean, is it like a group of people that have the tattoo?
I don't know if they actually did that tattoo, but the SPQR thing is everywhere. You still see it in like modern day in Rome, like manhole covers and like places will have it. Ruins will obviously have it because this was everywhere. This would basically be saying like USA. Like if it's SPQR, the banners and the heraldry and all that would have this, the eagle, and whatnot. So yeah, the SPQR was very much, which again is a weird thing because it's like, yes, the Senate and the people of Rome, that's what we're about. It's like, yeah, the emperor kind of don't give a shit about that no more. That's a republic thing, but they still had it as their like insignia.
So he like cuts it off his arm, doesn't he, at some point in the movie? Is he like slicing the tattoo off of himself?
Oh, is that what it was? I just know he had this like gangrene wound.
I thought there was some point where he was like slicing it off because one of the guys comes in and asks him, is that like a sign of your people?
Yeah,
and I think he was like, yeah, I need it gone.
He needs to get it gone. Yeah, for sure. Because it meant that he was like soldier. It meant he was like a soldier. Yeah. I think it means general. Yeah. All right. So Proximo here, the slave owner, the slave driver. This is Oliver Reed, who drank himself to death during filming.
I read that he didn't ever see the film come out.
He died during filming and they had to redo it. I think they might have done some form of CGI or they did something to like make do because he died during filming. It's really kind of it's sad, but in a way it's not. So apparently reading up on him, he is a legendary asshole because he's a legendary drunk and alcoholic and would be abusive to people. And would say like just mean old offensive things that a drunk born in 1920 or something would say to people. Yeah. But filming this, he gave his word to Ridley Scott that he would not drink. And the guy, God, he was in The Mummy. I can't remember his name. The guy that he first talks to here, this Arab guy. Actually, he might be Iranian.
He's Iranian British.
My bad. Not Arab.
Called Omid Jalili.
Fucking awesome in The Mummy, which we will cover sometime, I promise. He said, I guess he was with him when this happened, that they were in Cyprus where they were filming this, and I think they were British people, but some people came up and like challenged him to a drinking contest. The thing was Oliver Reed challenged them to a drinking contest, but this guy says no, it was the other way, that he was pressured into drinking and got hammered ass drunk. And I don't think he like fell and hit himself. I think he just got so fucking drunk, passed out, and just fucking drank himself. Something, his body just gave in or something like that. I don't think he choked to death.
God, that's grim.
It is, but it's again, some, I think he was 61 at the time. It's just years of alcoholism.
Yeah.
And it just
fucks your body up.
Fucked it up. And then, but to hear like the fact that he was sober during filming, it's one of those things where it's just, I always think of it with Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith, Jay and Silent Bob, that the guy was a junkie and an addict. And like to really get him off, I think it was Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back that Kevin Smith was like, I'll make this movie and I'll write you in for it, but like you will be fucking clean doing it. And I think like that was it, that helped him get clean.
Yeah, and then just one sort of relapse fucked it all up.
Yeah, and like this
I
right
mean,
here,
I
and
could have sworn
died.
This guy was Mark Hamill for so long in the film. I thought it was
really?
Mark Hamill. Yeah, and then I was like, wait, that's what Mark Hamill looks like now. Not 25 years ago.
I love Mark Hamill. We all love Mark Hamill. But Mark Hamill has looked like he's lived a hard life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. And I've never heard anything about him being like a partier or an alcoholic or a
drug.
He seems
like an all right dude. Yeah.
Seems like a great guy. But he, like, from Star Wars, he's baby-faced young. And then even by Return of the Jedi. And I know Carrie Fisher. Carrie Fisher looked great. Okay. Don't get me wrong. But Carrie Fisher was a fucking partier and druggy and an addict. That's why she lived a hard life. But I never heard that about Mark Hamill.
No, I haven't heard anything bad about him. I feel like if something came out and he got canceled, I'd be sad.
Maybe he just got into his Joker role so hard
yeah.
that he just, I don't know, got into that. He method acted into his Joker, his Joker log by bulb.
Well, his what?
Huh? How what? Many liberals does it change to take it change a log by bulb? None. They're too busy their gender. Huh?
What are you talking about?
Do you get it?
No. Are you trying not to use pronouns or something?
No, it's a stupid joke. And I might actually splice it in here. I may actually go out of the time. Where it was this dumb joke. Where this conservative or something like that was trying to the joke was, how many liberals does it take to change a light bulb? And it's like none, because they're too busy like changing their gender. But the way it came out was, it was how many liberals does it take change log by bulb? None. They're too busy their gender. And some guy did it with the Joker voice. And it's the most insane thing. It was such a running joke, I know, between
I
me and good listener Lawrence. I played it on my stream all the time.
Oh,
because the
I
first
missed that.
The first 80 times I heard it, I couldn't stop laughing. I will put it into Discord as soon as we are done here. And
okay.
Lawrence will have a conniption. Okay. All right, so we get to the slave trader here, Gladiators. Okay, so here we go. Here we go. Gladiators, a real thing. And there's so much to go on. Because even with the gladiator, I talked about them toning down Commodus, who actually was a wannabe gladiator and participated in gladiator fights in real life all the fucking time. They toned down a lot of gladiator fights, as we will get to once we get to the Colosseum. But while gladiators were slaves, they were the professional athletes of their day. They were well-kept. They were well-fed, well-trained, and well-rewarded.
Oh, so it wasn't, because they kind of look hard done by in some of these scenes.
No, I'm not going to say that there weren't some that were treated maybe as cannon fodder, and maybe because these are like the starters, maybe it is. But by the time you got to fighting in the Colosseum in Rome, like it was, they were, you were cheered for.
Yeah,
it was like the Greek games. And I took a class in college. I mentioned this in 300 episode. I took a class in college about ancient Greek sport. And the biggest misnomer that people have about the Olympics is because when the Olympics started back up, the modern Olympics in 1896, it was amateurs and it was stressed about being amateur status. And it really wasn't until, I know in the US, it was like maybe the 70s or 80s where some people started playing like professional in basketball. It was the Dream Team in 94, 92, where it was the first professional players. Everything was amateurs. That is not what it was in the Greek. Like, they were paid and they got rewards. They were rewarded in olive oil, which was super fucking expensive back then. And so they were fucking sponsored in ancient Greek games. And I'm like, that is such a bullshit thing made up by AAU in 1896. And so here as well, yes, they were slaves. Yes, they did have to fight, but if you liked him, if you the crowd started knowing you and favoring you, they didn't want to see you die. You were bringing out the crowds. You're putting on a fucking show.
The earliest influencers.
They were. I say professional athlete, you say influencer.
I
So Gen Z of you, so hip.
know, I'm so I am a you're an elder millennial though, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm borderline ancient millennial, it seems. I get older by the day when I start hearing people talking about rising up something and or other. I'm just like, no, I don't
Oh,
like Riz.
God.
A lot of slang I can be like, oh, that's okay. He can pick up some of it, but I don't like Riz. Don't.
No, I kind
Rizzing up
of.
someone, yeah, it's
It's something that I, say ironically, and then it's like s stayed in my vocabulary sometimes.
yes, that.
Usually, when I'm just in games, though, I'll be like, I gotta rizz this guy up a little bit. I don't say it in normal conversation.
Yeah, time to yeah, that's true. And you're performing their streaming. It's a little bit different. You could
Exactly.
be
Yeah,
like,
I've
oh
got
no,
to
it was
appeal to the Gen Z
like,
audience
oh, I
as
don't
well.
actually say it. I was just doing I was doing a bit. I was doing a bit. Yeah, this Jaimin Hansu is here. He is Joba, again, who was in Amistad. He's gonna play basically like, the right hand man here,
Yeah, they
closest
become
ally.
very close allies, yes,
Very close
and
ally that a lot of them
good
are.
teammates.
Very good teammates. They realize they need to stick together. It's never like a free for all. Some point Dexter here is made to fight. He's a scribe that can speak seven languages. I don't know. Maybe he'd be worth more, as a fucking scribe and not cannon fodder here.
I know, bless him. There was
Yeah.
one guy, was it this guy earlier on when they're, I think it was actually maybe when they're about to go out into their first fight, and he gets sent out, and before the door opens, he's just stood shivering,
Yeah.
shaking so horribly, and I thought that would be me. I'd be a hot mess.
Yeah, they're trying to. Yeah, they're just trying to show like they're slaves. It's against their will, and people are gonna
Yeah.
die. So I'm not
And
gonna
not
be.
everyone's like Max.
Yeah. I'm not too upset about it there. But the first fight here, again on the outskirts here, the qualifying games. This is like a fucking melee with these NPCs wearing random ass helmets and animal
Yes,
heads and.
weird.
It may look cool, but I'm like, you're wearing a helmet that is, or like this animal head that's completely restricting your viewpoint. Not smart. It's not a shock that they fucking die.
I know, and I think is this where they're all handcuffed together, like some of the
Yeah.
fighters? Yeah, to try and kind of handicap them, I guess, but it didn't really work out that well.
Yep, got to stick together, which would be nice if you're going into fight here when you have a literal like Roman soldier. Like they don't even know that he's like a general or whatever, but it's like, oh,
Yeah.
there's a Roman soldier. Okay, that's good. I'll stick with
Yeah,
you.
you lucked
I'm with
out.
you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Commodus returns to Rome in this triumph we mentioned earlier. The people don't like him, and he did give himself this. He gave himself a triumph in real life, like when he came back to Rome afterwards. He argues with the Senate and threatens them.
Oh, yes. I didn't like these scenes. They're just trying to sort of go about daily business with him, aren't they? Like basic sanitation.
The
And
Latin
he just sh
quarters, yeah.
yeah, and he just shushes them, and it's like he's, as if this stuff is all beneath him, but I guess that's the role that he wants.
Yeah, and this is Gracchus? Was that his
Gracchus,
name?
I have,
Gracchus.
yeah.
Yeah, so Gracchus is played by Sir Derek Jacobi. He was knighted by Queen Elizabeth II in 94. So he's
Wow.
already a knight when this came out. He's 85. He is still with us as of April 23rd, 2024. Yeah, he has won. He's won a BAFTA, two Olivier Awards, two Primetime Emmys, two SAG Awards, and a Tony.
Oh,
Yeah, he started his professional acting career with Laurence Olivier. So that's going to help you. It's going to
wow.
help you when you start your career there with it. Yeah, very much Shakespearean stage actor. So that makes sense. You're a Shakespearean stage actor. You've lived that long. You started with Olivier. You've won two Olivier Awards. Yeah, you're going to be fucking knighted.
Yeah, he's done great. And I love this scene where he kind of embarrasses Commodus a bit. I can't remember exactly what he said. But Commodus goes off to his room in a huff.
He does absolutely do it, which is like, ooh. Oh, yeah. Have you ever held somebody dying of the
Oh,
plague? He's
yeah.
like, yeah, but you might, or I might hold you or see what that is. He is from Essex.
Oh, shit.
Very Essex. Doesn't sound very Essex, does he? Very
No, he
East.
hides that accent
East.
well.
That is a disastrous
Oh, wow.
fucking thing. Essex is wild. That's a
Yeah, isn't that
wild
where our
accent.
friend Specky's from?
No.
Yeah.
Is he?
Technically,
Oh, I
yes.
didn't know that. Interesting. I did not know that. I know he lives like in the north of like that, but I didn't know that
That's
he's from there.
his county, I think. Yeah,
Is it? No
county of Essex, I
kidding.
think.
Yeah, no
I
kidding. I
mean,
always.
tell me if I'm wrong, dear listeners. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's the county he's from.
Maybe. I don't know enough to counteract it. So it is
Yeah,
now fact. We're
it's
now
now true.
putting it in there. He has called for 150 days of games in honor of Marcus Aurelius. And do you remember the phrase that I brought up? I don't remember where it was so long ago. Bread and circuses.
No.
God damn it. Is this why you
Bread.
weren't good at history?
I'm not very good at school in
At school.
general.
I can't remember where I brought this up, but bread and circuses is this old thing about you can distract the people. They won't get what they need and they won't complain if you feed them and you entertain them. So
Yeah, I
that's kind
remember
of,
you telling me about that. I
that's
don't
bread and
remember why we
circuses.
were talking about that, though.
I don't remember either. I don't remember either. But yeah, he kind of, Gracchus I know says this, which is they'll ignore all the problems. They'll love him if they give him basically bread and circuses here. So that's all you got to do. But they're, the money's a thing, so the Senate obviously has to pay for it.
Yeah, I do like that they are fully acknowledged. There's a few times throughout the film where the sister says it and Gracchus says it, where it's all about the mob is Rome. The beating heart of Rome is not the marble of the Senate. It's the sand in the Colosseum.
And we'll see it later where Commodus does not have control. Like he wants to kill Maximus, obviously, but the crowd is
Yeah.
just like, no, we love him. Spare him, Maximus, Maximus. And he knows he cannot kill this. He's the emperor. And
Yeah.
he knows that if he kills this dude, he probably has like another. Well, I guess the Nika riots hadn't happened. That was the Byzantine riots. He has a fucking full-fledged like potential riot on his hand.
Yeah, he knows very well that what would happen. I think he even says something like, "I won't make a martyr out of him."
Yeah.
Reminds me of The Hunger Games, where they can't kill Katniss.
Yes, but as we will again, as I keep alluding to, Commodus will have a lot of people killed. So in real life, if he
Yeah.
wanted this dude killed, he'd fucking kill him immediately. Be like, he wouldn't give a fuck. He wouldn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But in
I want to
another,
see that Commodus.
yeah, we'll get to the stuff. We'll get to some of that stuff. All right. So we're back. Maximus keeps on fighting. He kills like four people, hucks his sword at this gallery box, and are you not entertained?
Ah, oh, iconic. So
Iconic.
iconic.
But
Good meme. Good quote.
I just love that he kills those people and just throws the sword up there. It's like, fuck you, mother. Oh, you are you not entertained? Oh, you like that? Here, take my fucking sword. It's so badass.
I love it. And I remember, oh, I keep seeing this clip recently from God, what series? It must be series 5, Game of Thrones, where Jorah comes back to Daenerys.
Yeah.
And he's in the fighting pit, and then he
Oh,
throws the spear
yes.
at her, but it's at
The
one of
harpy,
the, yes, one of the
yeah.
harpies behind her. It was so cool, that
That's right. I
moment.
forgot about that.
It's a good one.
Moment of silence for Jorah Mormont. All right, so Lucilla makes this nice cocaine cocktail, I
Yeah,
call
what the
it.
fuck is this?
I don't know if that was meant for us to think that she was like poisoning him or gonna poison him, but he instantly drinks it.
Yeah, he totally trusts her. I don't know if she made him a sleeping potion or something. Potion.
A sleeping
Like
potion.
she's a little witch.
Like this is fucking D&D or some shit. Yeah. He's like, hey, drink this, my pretty brother.
I did. That's never really addressed as to what that
Yeah,
is.
it's real. I thought, oh, is that gonna
And
do
she calls it a
something?
tonic as well. She's like,
He
drink
calls
this
it a
tonic.
tonic. Yes, a tonic.
She doesn't even
Tonic
try to hide it.
with no gin.
Haha.
Imagine. So the Senate has this talk here of ridding Commodus. So let's talk about some of the stuff the real Commodus did, okay? He was in fucking sane. All right. So not only did he put himself in the gladiator games, and we'll get to him kind of what he did. And if you like animals, you're not going to like the gladiatorial games.
Uh-oh.
But he renamed Rome Colonia Lucia Annia Commodiana. So he renamed the fucking city of Rome after himself. All right. All of the months, the calendar, every month was now his 12 names. And he thought of himself as the reincarnation of Romulus, remember the founder of Rome,
Okay.
as well as Hercules.
So a mixture of them both.
He was the reincarnation of the founder of Rome. And again, while Heracles is like the Greek pronunciation, Hercules, we get it from, is the Roman one. Those two He was the reincarnation of the founder of Rome and the
Wow.
greatest, like most legendary fighter.
Yep.
Megalomania,
Okay.
anybody?
I just love the confidence. I
Yeah.
aspire to have the confidence of these
Yeah.
just regular
And I
dudes.
think he was shit. Did he die? I mean, I guess I can just do one click right here. So he died in technically his reign started in 177 because that's when he was co-emperor, but he started by himself in 180. He reigned for about 13 years. He reigned
Wow, that's pretty good.
from 80 sometime in 1980. Fuck me. He reigned sometime in 180, but he was, well, no, he died. I'll say what happened to him. He was not killed by a gladiator. Spoiler alert.
Aww.
But he did die on New Year's Eve 192. So he reigned for
Wow.
about 13 years, but
That's pretty good.
he came to power at 19. Like, you're fucking 19 years old. You've been a co-ruler. I don't know. Was he been? Yeah, he'd been the co-ruler since he was fucking 16. Like, how could you not just be fucking megalomaniac like that?
Yeah, because you just totally
Do
inflate the
whatever you
ego.
want. Yeah, and
Yeah.
he did fight like crazy. He apparently was also known as good looking, and not just from people who had to say that. Like contemporary things were like he
Yeah.
was good looking, but he was a fighter and he fought and trained all the time. So he had to be strong. And whether those fights were bullshit or not, of course they were bullshit, he still did a lot of physical activity. So he was probably some strapping Joaquin Phoenix looking boy.
I did kind of think that when you, because there are a few scenes in this where we see him
Him actually
training.
training, yes.
You see him training, you see that he's like got a good shape and he seems to know what he's doing with the sword. But then I
Yeah.
did have that thought in my head where I'm like, are they kind of going easy on him? I'm not sure what the setup is here.
Yes, they were, but he did fight. He did fight all the time. He was obsessed with the gladiator fights for years.
Yeah, but
Yeah.
then I think I realize at the end there when he kind of sabotages the
He's
fight
yeah, and he still
with
loses.
Max, I
Yeah.
was like, ah, okay.
Oh, bitch move, bitch. All right, fight, 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 fight. So we are now in the Coliseum. All right, we're in the big boy. We're in the majors here. They mentioned this is something I wouldn't have known in 2000, but oh, my ears are perking. They mentioned Scipio Africanus. Did you hear that name?
No.
Okay. Well, the fight that's happening, the
Yeah.
barbarians, the Carthage is the gladiators, and the guys
Oh,
coming in on the
yes.
chariots are the Romans. All right. They said that this was Scipio Africanus, an actual person. He earned that name, Africanus, as the conqueror, the African is what that means. Is the conqueror of Africa, is that is the guy who defeated the Hannibal of Carthage, like the elephants and going over the Alps and all that. Hannibal was defeated by Scipio Africanus.
Oh, yeah, because this is them like recreating a battle,
It's
isn't it, for
recreating a battle.
entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, again, on that note, gladiator shit was fucking nuts. Because not only would they recreate battles much bigger on the scale of this, they would flood it. They would flood and have ships and do pitched naval battles in the fucking Colosseum.
That's so fucking cool. Why don't people do this shit anymore?
I mean, the close as I watch this, I'm like, we have UFC, and that to me is like the closest
Yeah, true.
that we have to it. But I'm like, I'm just waiting for just a breakdown when people are like, we're gonna go somewhere. This is gonna be some island, some place where it's gonna be like, fuck it. We'll have people sign up. We'll get all the legalities taken care of.
Yeah. Oh,
Somehow the money will be laundered. What do
just
you
thought of
think?
a second film I might put
Death Race?
in the
Death Race?
hat. No, not Death
Oh.
Race. It's a battle royale style.
That's what I was thinking
Yeah,
of.
you know what
Okay.
I'm thinking of. But I mean, when I went to the Colosseum, I always think, well, I'm trying to think now how it would feel like if it was full of water.
So it's
That
while
would be insane.
it did seat, I think it did seat like 50,000 people or so, I want to
It's
say.
pretty big.
But Ridley Scott thought it was too small.
Oh.
So I do know that. I know some things will actually be filmed at the Coliseum, but there's a place I think in Morocco that is, while it is the Roman Coliseum, there's a ton of Coliseums that look just like that, that have stayed.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't say a ton, but there's enough that do that. And there's one in North Africa somewhere. I think it's Morocco that is bigger and more well-preserved. And obviously it'd be a pain to actually shoot in the Coliseum because of all the
Oh my God,
tourists.
yeah, it's
Yeah,
ridiculous.
of like where it was filmed, such as this.
Oh, that one in Morocco, I think my friend told me about it before as well, actually, because Morocco's been somewhere I've wanted to go for so long.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why, I just fancy it.
Like just for the fun of it, or
Well,
like
I would like
what's is
to.
there something specifically there?
I think, no, I just see when I see videos of like the town squares and the architecture and stuff, it just looks like something I've never seen before. So
Yeah.
I'd like to go and see
Okay.
it. And I don't think I've ever been to Africa.
Yeah. I
So
really want to go to Egypt, but man,
I'd be so scared.
I hear rough things.
Yeah, I think I would never go to Morocco either. I think I'd be too
I
scared.
would only go there if I had a local, if I was with a
Yeah.
local, like a trusted local who could not put up with the bullshit and would know like what to do. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So these Colosseum scenes were filmed in Malta, where they built a replica of about one third of the Colosseum, and the other two thirds were added digitally.
Wow, that's
Yeah.
impressive.
But the scenes of slavery, lol, like the scenes of slavery, desert travel, and the gladiator training school was in Morocco.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. And the opening battle scene in the Forest of Germania was in Serre in England.
Oh, wow.
So it, Ridley Scott learned that the Forestry Commission was going to remove a section of the forest. So he was like, hey, I can burn that down for you. So that's what that was. He got
That's why
permission to
they let
burn it
the
down.
fire things come
I
in.
will say that when I saw it, I was like, damn, that's some damn good digital for 2000. I didn't know if that was real or not. Because I'm like, where could they possibly be able to burn this shit? And there you go.
Do you
That's how they
know what?
did it.
No, at no point in this film did I ever think something looked really fake.
You know
Like,
what?
not even like the tigers or anything. I
Okay,
didn't
but
think anything looked.
the tigers were real.
Yeah, I figured
Yeah.
they were
Oh,
real, but
okay.
I didn't know if they were actually jumping around in the same scene as him or if they had been, spliced
Yeah.
in.
Yeah, they had to finagle the viewing to where he never got within, I think, like 15 feet is what I saw.
Because I don't know. I think I hadn't thought about it, and that's probably a good thing because no part of it ever felt super fake. Apart from,
No.
okay, hang on now. Maybe when he first arrives back at Rome and like it's the big scene of him approaching
That
whatever
wasn't
building that
real?
is, it looks
No.
like
Yeah, it looked,
that
yeah.
looks a little bit fake,
Yeah,
but
of course.
everything else looks great.
Yeah. No, and even that wasn't like egregiously bad. It
No,
wasn't
it
too
wasn't
bad.
like
Yeah.
offensive.
Yeah. All right, you ready to hear more about the Gladiator Games?
Yes.
So it wasn't just them fighting. You had the Venatio. I see, I want to say everything like Venatio, but it's not
Yeah,
Italian. It's just
say
Latin.
it. And you have to go like this,
It's a
Mamma mia.
Venatio. We can still make a fun of Italians. They're whites
Yeah.
now, like Irish. Whenever people want to do like accents, they're like, how come we can't do so and so of them? I'm like, look, if they're white now, they haven't really been oppressed that much. You can do it. But they're like, hey, in history, Italians and Irish, we talked about Irish need not apply and Italians weren't white. I'm like, yeah, but they are white now. So you
It's
can't
been
do it.
there's been enough time.
Yeah. I like, make fun of the Irish, make fun of Italians all you want. Just basically, if it's Europe, make fun of it. It's
You're
okay to
fair
do it.
game.
They'll be okay. All right. So Venatio would fight wired. They'd fight wild animals of their own accord. They were the ones that wanted to do it. Fight wild animals. And it is said, you want to get depressed. You want to hear get
No.
fucking depressed, the fucking Romans. Under Augustus, all right, this is the first Roman emperor. This was 27 BC to whatever the fuck it was, 14 or whatever it was, AD. The life of Christ, Anno Domini, and Domini Pater Spiritus Sancti. Under Augustus, 3,500 North African elephants were killed.
Oh,
Have you ever heard of the North? Have you ever heard of the North
no.
African elephant?
Don't think so.
No, because the Romans fucking killed them all. They went extinct.
Oh, what the fuck?
But 3,500 elephants were killed in the
That's
fucking
horrible. Why elephants?
dreadful. Because I'm sure it's Carthage. Because fucking Hannibal, they're like, oh, we'll put some slaves on top of an elephant and we'll fucking kill them.
Ugh.
But every animal you can imagine was fucking killed in there, from like a fox or a fucking chicken, all the way up to tigers, alligators, every fucking thing. And like the lion was another thing, because that was one thing people were like, how come like England has the heraldry of lions? And people were like, well, lions were never there. I'm like, yeah, they were. The Romans fucking killed them all.
Oh.
There were a ton of lions. That's why I think that was the fucking Rome thing, suckled at the teat, Romulus and Remus. No, that was a wolf. No, that was a wolf. That was a wolf. Yeah, that
I
was a
have
wolf.
no
Whatever.
idea.
But yeah, because the
I didn't
Romans
know that about the
fucking
lions.
killed everything in there for their own fucking pleasure. So fuck them. Now, Venatio were the ones who would fight of their own accord. Bestiarii. would be convicted criminals, and it would be a death sentence. This would be the thrown to the lions, thrown to the wild animals. It'd be a death sentence. And instead of crucifying them or hanging them or lining up by a fucking archery firing squad, which I don't think that was ever a thing, they would literally throw them and be like, okay, there you go. Have a fucking tiger tear you apart for the amusement of everybody.
That's so... It's always shocking to me how many people show up to these things in films. I know that wasn't in the film, but you know in... God, what film were we watching recently? Oh, Braveheart, where everyone shows up to see him get, like...
Yeah.
I don't even remember what it was called, but it was horrific, tortured, horrible,
hanged and quartered.
Yes, all that. People just show up to watch, and I think, God, they didn't have telly then, did they?
Dude, but like, and I don't want to drag it down too much, this shit happened with lynchings in the South in the Civil Rights era. This is from like 1940, 1950, 1960.
Yeah.
It would literally go extrajudicial killing. If anybody doesn't know what a lynching is, that means basically you just string someone up. They're accused of something. And there's one of this like black kid who was accused. There's one in Waco of this like, I think it was like a half Jewish, half black kid or something like that, accused of looking at a white woman, accused of touching a white woman. And they literally go and they fucking hang and string up this fucking teenager. And there's pictures of dozens of people that came out to watch it, that are getting their pictures taken with the corpse. That is 70, 80 years ago.
Yeah, it's so recent. Like, so many people
it
still have that
It is literally
mindset.
While my dad was alive. Like, it is one generation from me. So when we look, we're just like, oh, it was so barbaric. That was this fucking country that did it. And it wasn't even like, oh, this is a convicted criminal. This is a traitor. This is a fucking teenager who is accused. Child. Not even, nothing. Like, literally dragged and fucking hanged.
It's so grim. Yeah. I feel like people still have that mentality. There's still definitely people that would show up and watch
it. It would happen in a heartbeat.
It's all over social media. Is like on Twitter. I don't see this on my Twitter, but my friend does. Like, videos from, I don't know where, of just people being executed and have thousands and thousands of views.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's like, it's... So I looked up, Leo something is the one I'm thinking of, but the one I was thinking of in Waco, this was 1916, and like, it's on Wikipedia if you want to look this up, lynching of Jesse Washington, person accused of raping and murdering this person, and there's pictures here of people with it, they like burned the body, and so there's this charred corpse on a tree with like a chain around it, and it's like people came out, 10,000 people came out to watch this attack where he was paraded through the street, beaten, stabbed, held down, castrated, and then lynched in front of City Hall. And then kids came out for their lunch hour to watch it, and then basically put him on a tree, burned it, and all that.
So horrific.
Yeah, 1916 in Texas. In Texas. Ugh. Well,
awful place.
Brought everything down. Okay, now, bad segue here, but how about a moment of levity? You want to hear about some funny things that may have happened? All right. So what about the retiarii who fought with the equipment of fishermen? They
like
fought
fishing
with
rods?
They fought with nets and like tridents.
Oh, cool. Like Aquaman.
They totally just ran out of shit to do.
Yeah, they thought, how the fuck can
we
do this?
They're like,
week?
We're so bored by this. What can we do to gussy this up? Oh, no, we'll fucking fight with a fucking trident and a net like goddamn fishermen.
I love it. I hope that's the weeks where they filled it all up with water.
Yeah. They're just like, oh, the fishermen are in here to do it. I guess give them like a fighting chance. All right, so afterwards, Commodus is like, oh, the Spaniard. I'm going to go fight him. And he makes him take his mask off, or his helmet. Maximus says he will have this vengeance. Have his vengeance in this life or the next. And it's like, God damn, another fucking line.
Ooh, so many of them.
But he turns in, Maximus Decimus Meridius, father to so-and-so, commander of this, and I'll have my vengeance. Like, God damn it. What a
fucking
line.
Yeah, he was
ready.
He was so ready with that line. It was so good.
Yes.
So
but it's good. Just, again, I'm going to compare it to the Patriot, to compare this, because it's the same fucking thing. It's about fucking vengeance and revenge. To compare this line and how it's done to Benjamin Martin just being like, before this war is over, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
there was no inspiration to that one. It was so meh.
It was just like, oh, that was it. Like, I don't know. Again, one movie, one best picture. Yeah, one did. All right. So while he does this, though, now it has to do, he's like ruling judgment. All right. So Commodus can't touch him because the crowd says live. Now, this is where we get the thumbs up. And of course, one of my favorite gifts of the thumbs down that I like responding whenever people are asking me to do something or want me to do something. It comes the thumbs down. All right. So this is interesting. This is known, and it's a very famous painting that you'll look, you can tell the inspiration from this movie came from it. Let me see if I can do this correctly. Polike Werso. All right. Polike Werso. It is reversed from real life. Okay. The thumbs up meant kill because you're basically like, you're not asking to spare them, you're asking to kill them. So if whoever it was, they called it like the editor, here would be Commodus. If he does thumbs up, that means kill him. All right. Mm-hmm. There wasn't really a thumbs down. It was basically put your thumb inside and turn your hand to the sideways. It wasn't thumbs down. And that meant that they were spared. Now, this was one of those things that is a good change from like the historicity of it, because it would be weird if, you know, they're basically, if he like, the thumbs down a cheering crowd.
Yes. Yeah.
It'd be confusing. No.
I was confused a little bit. Yeah. I couldn't figure out which, because when he first does it, I was thinking, oh, we're going to get the meme. We're getting the meme. And then he goes up and I was like, oh, right. Okay. Oh. I didn't remember this.
But, up means good. Yeah.
Up means good. Yeah.
Now I ask you this, this music is Hans Zimmer.
Oh, all right. What a man. What a man.
Did you recognize?
Yes. Sounded like Pirates of the Caribbean.
It fucking did. And I saw that note before this, and I'm like, bro, you basically just took from yourself.
You just plagiarized yourself.
Really did. And man, that Pirates theme, it still might be my favorite theme from any movie. But man, it feels like less now. And I'm like, this is just, bro, you did not stay up. You plagiarized yourself to turn in your own homework.
That's actually interesting because I made a note of that, but then I forgot to then go and look up who did the music. But like I was writing all the way through this, like, what the fuck? This is exactly like Pirates of the Caribbean. And then in my head, because, you know, like so often now where music artists will like try and sue each other for having the same music. Yeah. And I'm just like, we've got to eventually just come to an agreement that there's only so many notes and there's only so many variations that you can do. Yes. So whenever I was listening to it thinking, oh my God, that sounds like Pirates, I was like, probably just similar sort of vibe. But that makes perfect sense now that I know that Hans Zimmer wrote it.
It's the same guy.
Yeah.
Oops. It's the same one. Oops. There are.
I guess you can't sue yourself, though, can you? So,
no, but I don't know. It's like, dude, you're like second to John Williams.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to do that. But I would say I think Pirates is more recognizable than this. So maybe just improved upon it.
Yeah. Definitely improved upon it. Because if you hear that song, you think Pirates, you don't think Gladiator.
So another thing that really humanizes Commodus here is he talks of this respect and love in regards to the people. And this is something that I think about and deal with every year, especially at the beginning of the year and throughout the first part of it, as a teacher and a coach that I used to be, is how to deal with like the students that you have. Because you want to be liked. I don't care what everybody says. Just about everybody obviously wants to be liked. But you have to be respected. And a lot of that respect, you have to be feared. Now, the thing in there is, I think what people lose out on feared is, it doesn't mean people have to cower in your presence. It goes back to like the theological thing where you fear God. You don't cower in front of God. You're not afraid that they're going to do something, but you have to be fearful that they're in control and they can do something. And I'll see that in every year, every so often, I have to check somebody. I have to pull them out of class, or I have to pull them aside and tell them, or in front of the classroom especially, that you can tell they don't fear you. That you'll just be like, hey, come do this or whatever, and they just won't do it. And I've learned that, oh, I'm about to like take it to an 11 and like make it in front of the class. And actually had something like that today where I'm trying to explain a project we're doing. And at this time of the year, and even most times, I don't make them like put their phones up and do all that. It's more or less, I'm going to explain it. If you don't fucking listen, you don't listen. It's the end of the year's post-test. But in this class, as I'm explaining it, I can hear a couple tables just chatting. and they're on their phones, and I have this bell, and I didn't even hit the bell. I hit my hand on the table, and I start to walk out, and I'm like, all right, headphones out, phones down, headphones out, phones down. And I'm looking, and kids are looking at me, and I'm like, headphone out, phones down. And like, I'm going around the room, and the tone is dropped, and it's like,
Shit. Yeah.
But I told them, I go, guys, this is the reason why we have to do it. This is the reason why y'all can't be trusted with me just hitting the bell and listening, because we have to fucking treat you like little kids. But it's that little bit that you have to check them on. And so when I hear them talking about this, it is, you have to be feared. You don't want them to cower, but they have to know that you can take away something that they like, or you can punish them or reward them accordingly.
I can't believe kids sit in class with headphones in.
Oh my God, you have no idea.
Because it's AirPods now, I guess girls or anyone with long hair, I guess, can just hide it.
Guys and everybody do. And that's why it's one of the things that at this point I've realized, fuck, next year, when we do stuff together, they will put them away, and they will be. Because it makes a difference. Because so many of them are fucking addicted. Like, they can't fucking do it.
Yeah.
Like, they can't just be on their own and me be like, some of them can, I should say. But so many of them just simply cannot. Like, the temptation is there.
Yeah.
And it has to be physically put away, and the headphones have to be out.
God.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
A lot of them is set. No, it works. I'm at a school where I can do that, where I can literally hit that bell and somebody won't be like, fuck you, I ain't putting it away. I've been at schools where that would happen, where they'd just be like, I'm not fucking putting it up. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Not at this one here. So, at this execution scene, again, I don't know. This feels so modern of like a fucking firing squad. I just don't think they would do that. Like, I think they would be hanged or something like that. I know it's like the Praetorian Guard that he's doing here, but I don't know that for sure. I do know that they would not say fire, okay? Because there is no fire. Fire did not come about until firearms. They would say loose, release. Some that would say shoot. But I don't know about that. I do know loose and release would be ones that they would say. But fire was something not done before firearms. You would have gunpowder and flintlocks and all that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, they definitely said knock earlier in the film.
They did.
So it's weird that they would not continue with that.
And I think he might have said loose also. I don't think they said fire during the battle scene. Yeah. Oh, I should say the fire arrows also. That shit did not happen. Like, you could not accurately and adequately light an arrow that much. You could do it for like a signal, like maybe one, but again, you couldn't. The point would have to be there. Like, you want the point to hit people, so it looks badass. And I know they do it here because they're like tracer rounds, so you can see the arrows and the ballista going. But in reality, you would not light your fucking arrows like this. You would not be able to do it because it would throw off the fucking weight of the arrow and everything like that to try to kill people with it.
Yeah, it just looks cool.
Maybe just light Blackwater Bay up in the wildfire.
Oh, so good.
Maybe.
I also love the scene where who's died? That like Catelyn's, somebody in Catelyn's family has died, and they're trying they're trying to light his
Edmure.
They're trying to light the boat that has his body on it, and somebody can't hit it.
Yeah, Hoster Tully's dead. Edmure can't hit it, and the Blackfish. That's his intro.
Yes.
Brendan Tully, that's how you do a fucking intro. Don't say anything. Yeah. He just throws his lord out of the way, shoots it, and then walks off before it lands. I'm like,
so cool guy. Cool guy, don't look.
Fucking Blackfish, man. Fucking season 3 Game of Thrones. So goddamn good. So good. The peak for me, season 3 is the peak for me.
Was it? I think it might have been 4 for me. But I think the reason why it was is because that was the first series that I watched live. So I was watching it every week. Like, you know, that was the first time
The reason why 4 isn't as good is because Tyrion's locked up after the second episode.
True, very true.
And also, they're dead. Like, the Reigns of Castamere already happened. The war in the North is done. In season 3, you get bearded Robb Stark, by the way. You get bearded Robb Stark. He's just fucking, whoo. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You get Catelyn. You get all that. It comes to a head. You can see it falling apart because the show is still slow. And, like, on a rewatch, you just see every wrong move being done. It's when he executes Karstark. Season 3 is where it is. Season 3 is where it is. Like, Dany's actually doing stuff because that's the March to Meereen.
That was so good.
That's where she gets her dragons. Fuck, what's it called? She's in Karth in season 2, and and Astapor. She's an Astapor.
Yes. I think what I loved about season four as well is that it kind of broke the traditional setup. So the first three series had done like a build, a build, a build, a build,
the
and then big
episode
nine,
yep.
wrapping up episode 10. So then like when episode two of season four hits, spoiler alert, when Joffrey, that threw me completely. Yeah. I think I was like running around the kitchen with my hands in my head, like, what is happening?
Good segue though, because Jack Gleason modeled his character after Commodus.
No way! That's perfect.
That's what I saw. IMDb trivia, it's got to be true. They can't.
Oh yeah, we love that.
So Cicero, ooh, Cicero here. If you played Skyrim, and you hear Cicero, all that. This is Tommy Flanagan, who we last saw in Braveheart. Braveheart.
Oh.
He's the guy whose wife gets prima nocted.
Oh God,
that's him. Super Scottish, so goddamn Scottish.
We love that.
He tries to set up an escape, but Commodus learns of this plot from dipshit Lucius, and it all goes to shit, and Cicero is hanged.
I hated that.
It was so bad. What a horrible way to go. The Praetorians attack the gladiator barracks, and may they all walk in Elysium. Except Joba. He survives.
Yes, the big, sexy German man dies, though.
He dies in a very Boromir-esque hail of arrows. Proximo dies as well, I believe.
Yes.
I do. Yeah. I think everybody got like
no,
Joba.
He gets stabbed in the back like Caesar.
Yeah. He did. Well, I think Caesar got stabbed everywhere. He got stabbed
just by a load of people.
And a lot of other senators apparently got stabbed also. Like, because they were trying, everyone was trying to stab him, that like several other senators got stabbed in the crossfire.
That's how they killed Jon Snow as well, wasn't it? Give
they
him
did
like
that
a Caesar
one,
death.
They did that one at a time, though. They were smart. They learned. They learned from.
They took their time.
Guys, and for the watch. For the watch. Ole for the watch.
Oh, la, la.
Ole. All right. It's a trap, though. Yes, Cicero is killed. Maximus is captured. All right. How about this line? Death smiles at us all. All a man can do is smile back.
And then he says, oh, wait.
That he learned
the
it.
Next
he
heard... line. He said, oh. Because he says, I heard it from an old friend.
Heard it from an old friend. All right. This is falsely attributed to Marcus Aurelius, okay?
Oh.
I remember hearing this, and this is where I'm going to bring up that Marcus Aurelius, I would say more so than being this Roman emperor and conquered, was a philosopher of Stoicism. He was a Stoic philosopher. The Meditations, and I do believe, previous guest, Alyssa from Breakfast in Beauclair, she is big into Stoicism and big into like this. And this is from his Meditation, okay? This is probably, you know, attributed to it here, his Meditations. Think not disdainfully of death, but look on it with favor, for even death is one of the things that nature wills.
Oh, so that's slightly different?
That's honestly, death smiles at us all. All a man can do is smile back. It's just a more updated and honestly a better thing of saying. It's really fucking cool. I really like the way that that said.
Movie-fied, isn't it?
Yes, but Stoicism, the school of it, really fell out of favor after that pesky cult of Christianity took over, because the big thing of Stoicism is in the moment, and it's about nature. It's very much kind of, there were Roman gods that they believed in, but they were kind of like Greek gods, where it was, yeah, the gods are there, but they don't really do anything like a Christian god. It's not one of those, we really think about everything being bestowed upon and grateful. So Christianity largely took this really out of favor. But I like this other thing that he has in there, and it's kind of long-winded, but I like it. The point of life is to follow reason and the divine spirit and to accept whatever nature sends you. To live in this way is not to fear death, but hold it in contempt. Death is only a thing of terror for those unable to live in the present. Pass on your way, then, with a smiling face under the smile of who bids you go.
Aww.
I know. And so that's another thing that it's taken from. And that's a huge thing about Stoicism. And it's weird because this is a Roman emperor who spent two decades fighting and conquering these people. And so much of this is live in the moment. It's very Buddhist-esque. It's live in the moment. Don't worry about shit you can't control. Don't worry about material possessions. None of this. And it's just, feels really weird that a fucking Roman emperor is writing this stuff, because it seems very hypocritical at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where he's like, just think about now, everything else will fall
think
into
about
place.
The now is I've been in campaign in Germania pacifying these barbarian tribes that have been raiding our borders. Now, don't get me wrong, it very much was a defensive war. This was not like, in a way, conquering Germania. That died in the Teutoburg Forest with, was it Lucius Verus, where are my legions? Like, that conquering Germany was long gone, same as the Scots. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this I love Stoicism. And every time it comes to the forefront, I really, really like it. And I need to read more about it.
Yeah, I'm interested to do that now, yeah, too, because I really don't know much about it at all.
Yeah, but Marcus Aurelius, this Marcus Aurelius Meditations is like the go-to intro, like one of, I should say, a very popular one to go to.
Hmm.
So Maximus fights and kills Commodus. So at this time here, it's been set up to where Commodus is going to kill him, but he's going to kill him in gladiatorial combat. But again, he wounds him before.
Little bitch. I hate that bit. I saw him do it and I was like, you're a little bitch. I was screaming at my laptop.
Little bitch. Yeah, he frees the prisoners and restores to the Senate to Rome, which no. And then fucking dies.
Oh, hate it. Hate it.
I know. I'm just so glad you don't remember me spoiling it. God.
Yeah, no, I didn't remember it at all. But yeah. I think it was a good ending. It was the right ending for him.
It was a good ending. He died and he walks in the Elysium, the Elysian fields, which to me was a really Greek thing. I honestly didn't know that the Romans took that also and didn't change the name. This is where the Roman heroes and everybody goes that dies in battle and does all that. He's with his wife, which, by the way, the woman playing his wife, Ridley Scott, married the actress. Like 10 years ago.
Oh, wow. Only 10 years ago.
There you go. I know. It's just like, oh, okay. Like 2015, I think I saw on there.
You want to know who auditioned for her? No, I got it wrong.
Uh-oh.
Ignore me. I was going to say who auditioned for her, but it's not. She auditioned for the sister.
Lucilla?
Yeah.
Who?
Lena Jennifer Hidley? Lopez.
Oh.
Don't
no,
like it.
No, not in two. No, actually never. No, not
never.
At all.
Never.
Not at all. No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Connie Nielsen is going to be in Gladiator 2.
That's right, because it's about his son.
It's about Lucius.
I saw Denzel is in it, too.
He is, yep. Denzel. Former slave turned wealthy arms and commodity dealer.
Ooh, there you go. Oliver Reed will not be in it.
Paul Mescal plays Lucius Verus.
I think Russell Crowe is in it, like in a flashback scene. I think I did see that.
Amazing.
I think I saw that.
It's got a great cast.
So here's the thing. I love Russell Crowe. Fucking love him. The Nice Guys, him and Ryan Gosling from probably 7, 8 years ago. An amazing movie. He's gotten a lot bigger. He has put on a few pounds. So I'm wondering how that's going to work. Like, did they get him back into shape? Mm. I don't know. We'll figure that out later in the summer or something like that.
Get
when
Gerard
it comes out.
Butler on the phone.
Absolutely not. Gerard Butler. Is this the coolest? No. Fucking goddamn it. Goddamn Gerard Butler. There's terrible Gerard Butler impressions coming out there. They're fucking 300. All right. So here's the thing I noticed too. Movies used to end like this. Like the older type movies like this. From the time of Commodus's death to the actual credits rolling is 6 minutes.
Wow.
It's designed... It's very Transformers-esque, which I'm probably talking out of my
ass. I was about to say Dark of the Moon.
It's designed to leave you in awe as the credits roll. And I do remember that is something I don't get now. And it's older movies. At times where it'd just be like, holy shit, where you'd still be like recovering from it. You'd be crying or you'd be shocked.
There's no cool down.
As the credits are rolling. And I think that is something that is lost now, that there's so much... You have to explain every goddamn thing.
Yeah.
You have to give, oh, where's these people go? What's all this doing? And it's like,
post-credit scenes,
the
blah,
movie,
blah, blah.
Oh, my fucking, don't get me started on that shit. The movie ends, this guy died, and you're sitting there in as the lights come back on in this collective viewing with the theater of being like, holy shit, that was great.
Yeah, yeah. Michael Bay went a bit too far with Transformers Dark of the Moon, though.
What was that, like 3 minutes?
It was,
I remember
like,
counting
not even
it.
3 minutes.
Like two,
it was like
250 or 240 or something.
Optimus kills Sentinel Prime and Megatron, and then Rosie Huntington Whiteley shows up. Bumblebee's there, and it's like
he gives his quick, "We are together here, Sam." Not wait, no, that was Sam. Sam Witwicky. I have to give another speech about how we have discovered that we are more like humans. Okay. throw your popcorn away.
Linkin Park.
Clean and tip your waiters and waitresses.
I love All right.
Well, clean and tip your waiters and waitresses wherever you're at, because that is it. Gladiator 2000 is done. Let us get to the tier rankings. And I know where I'm at. If you don't know where you are, I can start it off.
You go for it.
I was on the cusp. I was on the cusp of giving this an S tier. I'm going to say an A just because if I'm going to go S tier with history, I just don't know. I maybe talked into it after you, but everything's come out.
Okay.
But this is stone cold A tier. It's excellent. It's not the stuff that's wrong with history doesn't fucking matter. It's not like the Patriot where it's offensive. But the Patriot was offensive in their portrayal of like American slavery. Here they're like, yeah, these are slaves and the Gladiator, and that's it. It's not the same kind of American slavery, and it's so far removed that it doesn't fucking matter. It's like the slavery of like ancient Greece. It's not this American chattel slavery that we have to deal with still in the United States, to where like something like the Patriot is fucking gutless for not commenting on it. This, it doesn't fucking matter. And it flowed well. It was 2 hours and 50 minutes, 55 minutes for me. The extended edition, it dragged a little bit in that sense where, but it's so fucking good. The performances are great. The direction's great. You watch it and you're like, yes, Ridley Scott can do these historical epics when he's not trying to go too far. When he's telling a simple fucking story of revenge. The spectacle was great. A, and God damn it, I might make it C by the end.
C, not C.
That's a C, A. S, I might make it C. God damn, I said it again. I might make it S by the end.
I think we know your true feelings.
The Guinness. No. A.
Yeah, no, I had it down for an A as well, because I think it's obviously just wonderful, and it's like such a good visual show. The music's great. And like you said, the actors are all, I think, really, really impressive performances as well. It's a little bit too long for me. Like, there was parts where I was just not that interested. But I think once it got to the gladiator bits, I was there. And for all the different fights they did, I thought they were like really unique each time. They kept it interesting. And yeah, the story's just great. I would watch it again, but probably only if someone like hadn't watched it. You know, I'd be like, come on then, let's do it.
Maybe Gladiator 2 will have the naval battles.
I'm super excited to see Gladiator 2. It's got a great cast.
Elephants.
It's got Pedro Pascal. I mean, I'm there.
He's in it?
Yes. He's going to play a former military commander whose defiance has resulted in him being condemned to being a gladiator.
What isn't he in?
I don't care.
He's Sam Jacksoning. He is Sam Jacksoning.
A little too close.
All right, so there we go. A tier with the bullets definitely on the top end. All right. Yeah. We're going to get out of here, but again, check out those socials, the Patreon rating and review. Lucy, where can we find you?
You'll find me at Lucy J. Robin on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, and Discord.
All right, so you can find me on Discord as well. As I mentioned kind of before, I will be closing on a house and moving and everything like that. We don't know when the first episode of next month is going to come out, so I don't want to say what it is. We can say what the theme is going to be, because we'll talk about the Patreon is, and then the second week though you were going to pick, so I don't know. We may just put it on the socials what it is, but next month is going to be out of school month, so we're going to have movies that have to do with like school, a tangent like that. We can't say what the Patreon movie that will drop on May 1st. It is going to be Superbad.
Yay. The first big Emma Stone movie.
First big Emma Stone movie. A millennial, like, what would you call it?
People just fucking love this film, didn't
they? But it's like the quintessential millennial movie, like comedy. Yeah. Maybe number one of like millennia. Came out 2007. Oh, my God. How is that movie 17 years old? That's the year I graduated college.
Oh, it's the year I moved to Northern Ireland.
Look at that, 2007. So that will be out on the Patreon, on the Patreon feed, May 1st. Look to the socials whenever we do the first episode of Back to School, what that is. But we may go straight to your birthday one and then start out what it
Woo-hoo!
Is. Make sure y'all check that out. So until the next time we come back, we'll see you sometime in May.